This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. On the program this afternoon, in this portion of the program, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. And they're here to take your telephone calls. If you've got questions about dogs, give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL and 800-222-WILL. Good to see you, too.
It's so good to see you, Celeste.
Welcome
as always.
Back. Yeah.
It's just too short to be a test of the emergency system. It's more like a quiz.
It's a quiz. It's a pop quiz.
When I was a kid, they were 20
minutes
long.
Do we do that every month, or is this new?
No.
Okay.
It rotates.
Oh.
That's why I call it a pop quiz. It pops in here and there.
I thought, have I missed this for the last, 12 or 13 years?
Yeah.
So yes, you have.
I guess I have.
So are all the animals
They're hot.
Doing well?
They're hot.
Yeah.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
That's bad out there. It's really bad.
Everybody remember to leave them at home. Don't take them with you.
I don't even want to get in my car after it's been out in the sun. I open all the doors and just
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sun is really intense today. Yesterday was so pleasant, but today is dramatically different.
The humidity is way up there. The dew point's at 72. Ed says it starts to get uncomfortable when you hit the low 60s for that dew point.
Yeah, it's about 10% is my limit.
Really?
Yeah.
If we could just pretend that we had, just outside the door, some ocean breezes, and wouldn't that be nice?
That would be lovely.
Like Katrina?
And a beach. Katrina, no. And
two,
a beach.
Three,
and then, if you go to Florida and you're on the beach or in the south, it's not that unpleasant.
Breezes.
But
I guess you haven't been in Florida.
Well, I have, and it's nice if you're on the water.
Cooler near the lake.
And under a
pool. Yeah, we grew up with that. It's always cooler near the lake.
Boy, Ed would rather die, I think, than say cooler near the lake. He has 1,000 different expressions, but he'll never say cooler near the lake.
If you lived in Chicago as a child, it's almost just
becomes a
mantra. Cooler near the lake.
When I was a kid, I wrote a poem called Cooler Near the Lake.
That's all you ever hear.
Which I will not share with you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Dog Training Club.
Yeah.
And any particular events that you'd like to mention
that are Jim run
up
with this one.
This weekend, it's not our event, but at our building, the Bloomington UKC, the United Kennel Club, is having an obedience trial, and it's open to the public. And on August 25th, same as Christmas except in August, we are having, in conjunction with the National AKC event, the Pet Responsibility Day. Is that
Responsible Dog Ownership?
Responsible Dog Ownership Day. And we're having events out at our place, including microchipping.
Surf clinic.
A surf clinic, which is CERF, like Bennett Surf, which is...
Boy, that dates you.
Well, at least I'm dating someone I love. Which is a certification for for your eyes to register.
Certified Eye Registry Foundation,
I don't know what it stands for. Obedience demonstrations, agility demonstrations, balloons for the kids. I don't know.
Cooler by the lake.
Cooler near the lake.
It's a fun, fun day for people to come out to the Dog Training Club. And we're holding this because we are an AKC club, but it's also a celebration of our 30th anniversary.
Right, our 30th anniversary year.
Being established. Jim is one of the founders.
I believe I wrote the Constitution.
I believe you did.
Yeah.
And he administers it, too.
So where is the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana located?
Please, we shouldn't say Fort Harris Road this time. Harrison Ford Road. Route 45 and Fort Harris Road in Urbana. Right. Accessible
east
via
of that intersection.
Interstate 74.
And for this event on Responsible Dog Ownership Day, can you bring your dog?
In order to get it chipped, you're pretty much going to have to bring
your dog. Or it's eyes checked.
Yeah, I'm not paying attention.
That's okay. You're having a bad day.
Let's
sure, bring your dog.
Let's talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I have an interesting problem.
We'll
My dog is
that.
Very friendly with all the dogs in the neighborhood, all the people, except for the dog across the street, who happens to be an unfixed male. This dog is so submissive, and yet when my dog comes near it, he just growls and, you know, wants to fight with it. Do you have any suggestions? I do so want them all to get along because we could go walking together if they did.
Well, let's see. What kind of dogs are we talking about? What breeds?
What kind is yours?
My dog is a long hair shepherd. I was told collie mix, but he has a definite golden retriever personality.
Is he intact?
The other dog is...
No, her dog's neutered.
My dog's neutered. The other dog is a lab, a black lab, the slim type.
I'm going to guess, and of course this is based on never having seen the animals, but growling isn't necessarily, for a dog, a sign of aggression or anything like that. Is your dog doing anything else? Straining at the lead, baring its teeth, snapping?
Yeah, snapping.
How snapping?
Trying to stand over the dog. He's just very aggressive toward this lab.
How old was your dog when you acquired it?
About 10 months.
Okay. I'll relate a story to you that may have something to do with what... I've told this story before. But Robbie, when he was 6, 7 months old, we were walking, and there was a yellow lab lying in his driveway. And Robbie's very friendly and happy, and he approaches this big yellow lab who was quite a bit older. And the yellow lab put Robbie in his place and did one of these, you know, put his paw on his shoulder. Robbie did not like that. He did not like this dog telling him that he was a punk kid and leave him alone. That has been 5 years ago. To this day, we cannot walk past that house. The dog has long since deceased. We still walk past his house, and he looks and he postures, and where is that yellow lab that tried to tell me who I was? Mm-hmm. So it's possible your dog had an experience that was unpleasant with the dog that looked like this dog.
Or...
That looked like it.
Your dog is... you walk by, the other dog comes up, it rolls on its back, it's very submissive. Your dog growls and tries to stand over it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're pulling your dog back, saying...
I tell him, Shep, no.
Fido, quit that. Yeah. And once again, I'd have to see it, but that is what dominant dogs do to submissive dogs. Your
right.
dog is dominant, this dog is submissive. Those are just natural things. It doesn't mean your dog is aggressive. It doesn't mean your dog's trying to fight or hurt the other dog. What it means, possibly, is that your dog is trying to show its dominance, which, you know, they can't send each other letters. So he postures, he growls. Rah, 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 rah. And I have a feeling, although I don't suggest this because I could be wrong, that if you just let these two dogs go, they'd growl and snarl and then they'd get up and run and play together.
Well, that's what I've suggested to the neighbor, but he's very protective of this dog.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I had a personal trainer out there and we both agreed that this personal trainer was going to handle the situation, whether that's what I need to do.
You know, I think that you're walking a fine line here. If the owner of the other dog is not willing to go that route, I'd just drop it. Because if anything happened, then, you know...
My dog would not kill his other dog.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say it would kill it. But if he's not willing to explore the possibility of a friendship between these two dogs because he's protective, I think that if it were me, I'd accept that for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we live in the country, and, you know, sometimes they run free.
Mm-hmm.
There are little incidents.
Yeah, it's possible. But everything you've described is a dominance display.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you've really described is aggression.
Okay.
We introduced two dogs once. We were giving a Malamute female to someone who had a Malamute male. And we said, okay, we're going to let him loose, and here's what's going to happen. He's going to growl and snarl, and it's going to look like he's going to kill her. And mm-hmm. she's going to scream and roll on her back and do all kinds of stuff. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. We let them together. He snarled and growled. She screamed like he was going to kill her. The people were going, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? And about 10 seconds later, they both got up and chased each other and were good yeah. friends the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But if all you saw was that little display, you'd think, oh, right. he's trying to kill her.
Right. And that's all they've ever allowed.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they've allowed the next step.
If your question is how do you train your dog not to do mm-hmm. this, you'd have to have the cooperation of the other people, and they're not going to give it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
the answer is, gee, we don't know.
Yeah. But I don't think
you can.
I do think that if a personal trainer was there, they would allow the situation to unfold.
Yeah, and if you had somebody knowledgeable, I'd feel better, you know, if I could see this, because mm-hmm. it could be that your dog is aggressive, but from your description, it's aggressive toward nobody else.
Right.
And so that's what makes me think, well, this is probably, and not to, we shouldn't attribute human motives to dogs. Probably what's inspiring your dog to act this way is the submissive behavior of the other dog.
You think?
Oh, yes.
Interesting.
If the other dog wasn't so submissive, your dog wouldn't act so dominant. But
mm-hmm.
these are displays that are a million years old, and it's how dogs resolve their social status, how they establish I'm dominant, you're not. And remember, right. dominance is not aggression. It's a social position.
Okay.
And so my guess is that that's all it is. But mm-hmm. if you had somebody there who was knowledgeable, could watch it, that would be very good, too.
But do you do that sort of thing?
No.
I knew that's where that was going to go.
There are people in the community, though, that do.
Yeah. The ASPCA has people that will, I think, can help you.
Okay.
And they have a hotline, and I don't know the number. But it's in the phone book.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. If you've got a question about a dog or dogs, today's the day to call it in. Dog trainers Carolyn Holm and Jim Keel are with us. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here once a month to answer questions about dog care, behavior, and training. The phone numbers, if you'd like to join us, if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number to use, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free. The toll-free number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And I have a notice here from the news department that comes to us from Champaign County Metcad. An unknown problem has affected 911 service in and around the village of Gifford. Champaign County Metcad says anyone with an emergency should call 911 by cell phone or contact the Gifford Fire Department until further notice. That's 911 service in and around the village of Gifford. There we go. And I think we've got another call coming in on line one. Good afternoon. Listener in Danville, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
We have a dog who is half black lab, half beagle, so sort of a mutt. He's about a little over a year old. And we're having a real hard time getting him to come when he's called. He was getting better. We'd play Frisbee in the backyard, big backyard, and play Frisbee, and he would come back with it with a treat. Then we took care of my son's dog for 2 weeks, who was sort of a younger puppy, and they just played and chased and played keep away. And now she's gone, and that's all he wants to do is take the toy and run away from you with it. And we have a real hard time trying to break him of that. I don't know if you had any suggestions.
I would pick up the toys in the backyard and keep them for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you call the dog, you have the toys and he doesn't.
Okay.
How old is the dog?
He's a little over a year.
Okay. It's a little, I don't know labs and beagles all that well. With Malamutes, this exact problem, no matter how much you've trained them, and this is true of most dogs, when they hit 10 months, you might as well not have trained them, you know. They thumb their nose at you. And that lasts about a month or two. In which time, you know, you're calling up the animal behavior saying, why is my dog doing this? That's because they're 16 years old and they're going to do it. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Actually, yeah.
And that could be what you've got here. I think you're wise, though, to observe that this happened after the other dog was there.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty clear.
Normally for coming when called, I carry, hundreds of cookies in my pocket all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I call a dog, I always give it a cookie, if it comes to me, obviously.
Right.
Without fail. And I never wean them off of it. I want them to rely on the fact that they'll get a cookie.
Okay.
What you don't want to do is call the dog when you can't reinforce calling him. So if he's running around in the backyard and you say, Fido, get over here, come, or something pleasant, and the dog doesn't come, you have now trained him not to come when he hears the word come, you know,
right,
or when he hears his name. So you want to either be absolutely sure that you can reinforce the call or go back to the beginning, put him on a lead, call him, you know, for 4 feet, and you've got the lead, you show him the cookie, and never make it a secret that you have cookies.
Okay.
It's not a secret reward. It's a lure. It's not a reward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And but if as it sounds like he wants to play with the toys, you control the toys. You go out and get the toys before you let him out.
Okay.
And then have a training session where you call him, you give him a toy and let him run around. But you give him a toy that's the lowest on his echelon. So you call him again and you give him the better toy, you know, and maybe a cookie at the same time.
Oh, okay.
But if he doesn't come, don't stand there calling him. Go get him.
Right. Well, that's the problem. The idea with the lead is a good idea because he's hard to go get. He's pretty smart. You get within 4 feet and he romps away, and you can chase him all over the place. So we don't chase him because we don't want it to be the game where he likes to be chased. That's what he wants to do.
Well, show him the cookie. Say, look, and when I say cookie, you know, if he won't come for a regular commercial cookie, cook up some liver. And say, here's some liver with some garlic on it. How about this? And very few dogs can resist liver with garlic. I know I can't. but, yeah, and, you know, you get something that's so overwhelmingly desirable that he'll come to you. The other thing, if you're in a training situation, is you can put a long line on him. Maybe 20 feet on his collar. That way you don't really have to grab him by the collar. But you never leave a drag line on a dog when you're not around.
Sure. Yeah, right.
For obvious safety reasons.
Yeah, and I admit we'll leave his short leash on him sometimes while he's out running around when we're with him because it's easier to catch him. And I imagine that's probably not a great thing to do either, but he never when he's by himself.
Yeah, the problem with the short line is you still have to get within 4 feet of him.
You still got to get a little bit closer.
And with a 20-foot line, most dogs can't figure that out.
Right. You know, that's a good idea. Yeah. So, okay, good. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let's take another call now. A listener on a cell phone in Urbana on line 2. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have a... let me take it off the speaker now that you're on the line.
Okay.
I have a dog about 10 and a half months old that I got through a rescue when he was 9 months old. And things are pretty much as I would expect for a dog of this age. Just one thing I find irksome, he's learned what no means, except when he's in, in play mode. Then he doesn't understand what no means and doesn't stop whatever he's doing. Like he'll be mouthing me or whatever, and I say no, and I've even tried to reinforce it with jerks on the lead and things like that. But when he's playing, he just doesn't understand no.
You know, what kind of dog is it?
It is a Rottweiler.
Using the word no is just so generic.
If you turn to the Oxford OED, the English Dictionary, look up the word no. It's got about 20 pages of meanings.
Yeah.
Nah, not that much, but it's a lot of meanings. Look up anti-disestablishmentarianism. It's got one meaning.
Sure.
So for a dog, when you say no to the dog, you may be right. He doesn't know what no means in the context of...
Because no and no, K-N-O-W and O,
well,
they don't
when
know.
When I teach a beginning class, I will go through, I'll say no 20 different ways. No, 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 you know, and et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And that's way too much for a dog to try to understand. What you're trying to do is have him know, as dog trainers such as us use it, it doesn't mean stop what you're doing necessarily. It means don't move. So, in other words, stay. When we say no, we mean stay.
Okay, I would be happy with that.
Usually,
and that's pretty much how he takes it all the other time.
You have to train him, though, that the word no means don't move. It's not something that he's going to intuit, because usually when you say no, what you mean is no, stop biting my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stop biting my arm is a pretty abstract notion for any dog, let alone a puppy. What you mean is the behavior you're exhibiting now, the arm biting behavior, I wish you would use the sitting behavior instead. And, you know, dog will never understand that. So trying to teach, first of all, you have to teach them what the word no means. And secondly, if you have these kind of behaviors, it's better to teach an incompatible behavior like sit, stay, instead of saying no. You see what I mean?
Okay, well,
if
yeah,
you say
sit,
good dog, here's a cookie, well, while he's sitting and getting a cookie, he's not biting you.
And, you know, I don't like to use the word no. I want to interrupt that behavior, so I'm going to use a word hey or make a sharp noise to interrupt that behavior. And then you can work with him. Because
okay.
Using no just becomes meaningless. And you've only had him 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, try and use
a... The thing I find perplexing, though, is that he understands it as a command word when in any other context.
Well, give us another example of what you use it for.
Like if he's disemboweling the couch, I say no, and he gets off the couch and stands there.
I'll bet if he's disemboweling the couch and you said Detroit, he would do the same thing. In other words, it's not the word no that's getting him to stop. It's your presence and your angry voice that's getting him to stop.
Uh-huh.
It's not that he understands the concept of no.
It's not that I've spent time with him on lead and given corrections, said no at the same time as giving corrections.
Right, yeah. Dogs do not understand any language, let alone English.
Sure.
And
sure.
If this was a 10-month-old baby, human, and you said no, you really wouldn't expect the 10-month-old to understand completely what you mean. And yet a 10-month-old dog, which has the intellectual capacity of maybe 1/1000th of a human baby, we expect them to know everything we're saying to them without ever teaching them the language. So, yeah, you're right. You have to spend time with them, teach them what the word no means. But I think probably you got two problems. One, the dog doesn't know what no means. And secondly, he's 10 months old. And as we were saying before, it's like having a 16-year-old that you've trained beautifully and now they don't know who you are and they're not going to listen to you. And that they'll get over that.
And we don't know the dog's background since he's only had him. But when he's disemboweling the couch and you say no, what you've actually done is you've interrupted that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So you also then have to reward his stopping that behavior.
So interruption,
right.
Reward,
mm-hmm.
It's a distraction and then mm-hmm. a reward. And then you give a positive command.
That's
to give you an example, I'm not in favor of violence to dogs by any means, but we had a mommy dog and she had a litter and they were about 4 weeks old. We put mom's food in the litter box with her and a puppy went up to eat some of it and say, hey, what's this food? It's not milk. And mom just came down on that dog with a big growl right on his neck. And the puppy screamed like a banshee.
Yeah.
And then mom started licking him. And the puppy never tried to eat her food again. And neither did any of the other puppies in the litter. They got the point. But in my mind, she was saying no to that puppy and teaching him what the concept of no meant. And so that she later she could just go, "Rrr," and the dog would stop. So it's not that I don't think puppies can understand
that, let's make that, like, okay. So I'm having an incident at home this week with my two dogs. And I go, "Ah!" Okay. Just a sound. It's so quick. And just to get them to stop what they're doing and pay attention to me so I can redirect the behavior the way I want it to go.
Well, this is off point now, but another use of the word no is, yes, we have no bananas. It's sure. the same word, and, you know, what does it mean?
Obviously, I try to restrict the abuse with the dog to simply stopping whatever.
Well, I'm attending a seminar right now, as a matter of fact. We're on lunch break. But one of the examples one of the speakers gave is, so often she gets people that say, "Well, my dog won't listen to me." "Well, what do you say?" I say, "Fido." "Fido what?" "You know, well, I want them to come." "Well, why don't you say come?" So usually, you know, you say something and what you personally mean and what a human would understand from the tone of your voice and your inflection doesn't mean the dog is anywhere close to understanding that. You can teach him what no means. It can mean anything. It can mean freeze or, you know, whatever you want it to mean. But the dog isn't going to abstract and say, "Well, no means 25 different things." It'll mean one thing to the dog. That's why if you're training, we try to keep it as simple as possible. If he's mouthing you, that's a whole separate problem. Usually best alleviated by training some alternate behavior that's incompatible with biting you, like sit. That's the easiest thing. He starts to mouth you, say sit, and he sits. You know, he virtually can't help it, and then you give him a cookie, which is counterintuitive to yelling at him, screaming no, or hitting him. He may understand that it's gnawing you that's he's being punished for, but he probably won't, at least the first several times. He'll have to kind of figure that out and eliminate all the variables. Well, every time I bite him, I get hit, but I'm also breathing and I'm also in the living room. You know, why am I being hit?
Repetition in different contexts.
Yeah, to try to generalize. That's why positive reinforcement works so much faster than punishment, mm-hmm. because the dog really has to figure out what it's being punished for, and it's not really clear to the dog every time. It's clear to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, digging in your couch, well, to the dog it's just digging, and that's what they do for a living, really. They're den dwellers. So what are you yelling at me for? Maybe it's because I'm in the living room, you know.
Maybe because I'm breathing.
Maybe it's because you wanted to lay on the couch and I was laying on the couch. So in other words, you can train the dog what no means, but it's better to train him to do something else, and that's positive. And with a Rottie mix at 10 months, you know, you're going to have to be patient.
Okay.
Also, gnawing, you know, mouthing your arm, you're right, is a form of play. It's not, he's not being aggressive.
Sure. Well, thanks for your advice. I'll try the alternate behaviors.
Yeah, it'll work faster.
Yeah.
Especially with a Rottie, I think.
Well, that seminar, you got your money's worth already.
Yeah.
It's only half a day.
Yeah.
Into it.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guests this afternoon, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. If you'd like to talk with us, give us a call, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Well, if you've ever had to stop children from doing something that you don't want them to be doing, you interrupt and then you redirect. Rather than saying, don't, you just say, let's do.
Yeah, and Jim was right with it is counterintuitive, a lot of this. You have to, if you know you have the situation like this gentleman does, you have to plan what you're going to do, because our first response is often to say, stop it. Well, that doesn't help the situation.
Last month, we had a woman from Poland visiting us. She had brought her Malamute over with her. And so I was doing all these things with this dog, and so telling her what a good girl she was and telling her to sit. And she was, you know, doing pretty well. And it occurred to me, well, hey, wait a minute, this dog only speaks Polish. Mm-hmm. And then it occurred to me, no, it doesn't speak Polish either. It doesn't speak English, doesn't understand anything. Probably just understands the pleasant tone of my
human, your body language.
Language, sure. Yeah.
They respond to that
and
so she, well.
Yeah, and but if I were to be asked, I would have said, oh, she understands English perfectly. But no, wait a minute, I don't know any Polish.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hi, I have a question. How is there a, you talked about positive reinforcement. I have a problem with a dog that seems to want to chase cats, and so it sometimes is inconvenient. And now I, you know, I say no and try to discourage them from doing so, and I wondered if there's a good way of doing it.
Well, there are many good ways of doing it, but chasing cats is another thing dogs do for a living. And they've been chasing cats ever since there have been dogs and cats, as far as I can figure out. When you say your dog tends to chase cats, where does it do this?
Well, I live next to my landlord's, and my landlord has some cats, and a dog, as soon as he sees one, he wants to take off after it, and I'm, of course, trying to convince him that they're to be lived with and not to, to do so, and so...
Is he on a leash when you, when this happens?
No, if I had him on a leash, well, he'd pull on the leash, you know, he'd, he'd try to run, but then it wouldn't be a problem. And, no, it's when, you know, if I let him out of my car and the cats are there... normally I try to check out and be sure there aren't any cats around that he can chase, but I occasionally he goes with me out in the field occasionally, and occasionally they'll run into a cat, and I just don't want him always
what does he do? Does he have, has he ever caught one?
What?
Has he ever caught one or encountered it, or do the cats get away, or what happens?
Well, yeah, he'll see one, and then he'll chase after it and try and catch it, and you know, I don't want him to catch it, and so I run after him and try and grab him and yell at him and so forth.
And
I'd rather, you know, not have to worry about it. I like to try and convince him that, you know, to get along with him, and I've had dogs in the past that got along quite well with him, and then I've had some that, oh, the dog and the cat antagonized him. They maybe...
Well, here's what you do.
Chase it a little, but
here's what you do.
Otherwise, I can... You know, they considered them just another dog.
What the, you get some liver or cookies or anything the dog likes to eat, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You put them on a lead, not too long a lead. You get somebody who can hang on to a cat and have them walk up. Celeste goes, yeah, good luck.
Right.
But you can put cats on... restrain them. They have cat harnesses and things like that. But it's so that the cat doesn't, you know, run into the street or something. But your dog is never going to get close to the cat. As soon as the dog sees the cat, all right, he's going to want to run at it. And what you say, and I, this is another thing I got from the seminar.
See, he got his money's worth today.
And, yeah, I think it's a good thing to say. It really doesn't matter what you say, but this is good. Oh, boy. And you say, oh, boy, oh, like Buddy Holly, oh, boy, really fast. And high-pitched, friendly voice, you give the dog a little pop, have him come toward you and give him the liver.
When he sees the cat.
When he sees the cat. You will have to do this a couple times a day, probably for a couple weeks. But... you know, you have the cat in, is far away. I don't want the dog getting into the cat. But what you're doing is, it's called classical conditioning. The cat becomes the trigger. As soon as the dog sees a cat, he's going to turn to you as you say, oh boy, because he knows he's going to get some liver. So now when you get out of the car and, no, this is not now, but after you've trained him, you get out of the car, the dog sees a cat, you go, oh, boy, he turns to you. The cat says, uh-oh, there's a dog, and he splits, and you don't have a problem.
Splits? I've heard that in years.
I'm an old guy.
Yeah, you are showing it today.
But you see what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get the dog to respond. to the cat, instead of seeing the cat and just this million-year-old instinct to chase it, we're trying to redirect that. He sees the cat and a very recent behavior of turning around and going to you for food. And in each case, though, the cat is what we call the trigger. It's the thing that starts the behavior. And primitively in a dog, they see a cat, you know, it's hardwired into them, chase it.
Actually, not just a cat, any
small
any
animal.
Prey outside. Because yeah. they can coexist in the house beautifully. Mm-hmm. And then that same cat can be outside, and it's a whole different ballgame.
But you're going to need the cooperation of a friend or somebody with the cat so the cat can be protected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, in other words, you have to set, whenever you train a dog, you can't wait for a cat to walk by and then start training. You have to set up the situation yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have another question that doesn't relate to this. In the news, we hear been hearing a lot about the dog fighting.
I'm glad you brought that up today.
Recently, and one of the I hadn't been real familiar with it. I'd always heard about it, and I figured it wasn't that pervasive around the country as what it sounds like it is now. And they talked about. They talked about pit bulls. That's part of my question. Some people think that all pit bulls are bad, and other people I've talked to that have had these pit bull crosses say they're the nicest dogs you could ever have. And so I'm wondering, are the people that are raising them for fighting, apparently, are they sort of breeding it, trying to breed it into them? Because my understanding was they indicated that they test them when they're, I don't know, a few months old, and if they aren't aggressive enough, that then they kill them and to keep the most aggressive ones for the fighting. And so I'm wondering, do we have breeders out there that are breeding them to be nice dogs and other pit bull breeders that are breeding them to be prison?
Well, you have to...
Go for it. I just wonder what.
Yeah, pit bull. A pit bull is just a generic name like sled dog or hunting dog or something like that. Secondly, dogs that are dog aggressive, that in other words, they'll fight with other dogs, are not necessarily human aggressive. All right.
Oh, they breed for them to be nice to people.
Yeah, because if you have a fighting dog and you want to get it to the ring, you don't want it biting you all the way. So we want to make that distinction. Just because a dog is a pit bull doesn't mean it's this kind of pit bull. And secondly, just because any animal is, any dog or cat for that matter, is dog aggressive, doesn't mean that they're human aggressive. So people say, oh, my dog's really nice. And it is, except it'll fight with, it loves people, but it hates other dogs. That's always possible. What these guys do, how they train, I have no idea.
It's horrible. But, I'm really glad this all came to light in the last week or so because it's a problem, a horrific situation that people in humane societies are well aware of, animal welfare movements are well aware of, but the general public is not. And even here in Champaign-Urbana, we have a very large dog fighting community, which is shocking to some, but it's there.
One of the big problems is that some of the animals that are hurt or killed aren't pit bulls. They're dogs that are, what are they called?
Bait dogs.
Bait dogs. That are just dogs that are used to train the fighting dogs. And, of course, they're not the bait dogs aren't fighting dogs, and they get hurt.
They use rabbits, they use kittens, they use puppies. And, I listening to your question, when dogs are bred, and we're going to use Jim can weigh in on this because he does this, you breed for certain traits in a Malamutan, and you breed out certain traits you don't want. We'll use hip dysplasia as an example in large breeds. Breeders select against hip dysplasia.
Well,
if you want to breed for, and so they can, or certain.
Yeah, you can breed for a lot of things. In dogs, breeding temperaments is very easy.
Oh, yeah.
And the temperament of the dog, that is its friendliness, its intelligence, its trainability. Is definitely inheritable, and you can breed it. Also, you can breed characteristics like in retrievers, just a willingness to retrieve. Malamutes will never retrieve. They're just bad retrievers. But I bet, you know, given 20 years, we could develop.
You could retrieve,
we
yeah.
could develop a Malamute that would retrieve by selective breeding. So a great deal of dog behavior is inherited or is heritable. And so is dog aggression. And I'm sure these guys are breeding aggressive dogs.
They'll breed for aggressive dogs, but then, and that is the upshot, which makes it kind of intriguing. They have to go in and separate these dogs at some point. So they breed for aggressive dogs, but dogs that are compliant
tractable.
With people.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be done. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do it either. So
well,
there
people
are.
People breeding dogs starting maybe 15, 20,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So before we had Barbara Woodhouse, we had people that were doing pretty well training and breeding dogs.
Yeah. But it's, you know, and it's a shame that the pit bulls are in such a, are cast in such a bad light. But, I'm glad that the whole situation has captured so much national attention. And that, you know, I'm sure the allegations are there, allegations at this point, but that he's taken quite a tumble for it. So that's a good thing. That
is he a lacrosse player or
football?
Okay. I didn't want to rush to judgment.
Yeah, he's football. And I'd never even heard of him. I'm not a big football fan, but I had not heard of him. But now I know who he is. So,
well, let's see if we can get one more call in this afternoon before we wrap things up. But we've only got about maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes tops. Line 4, a listener on a cell phone. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm fine. I've got 3 miniature long-haired dachshunds, and one of mine, the female, and she is getting older. She's 12 years old, so I don't know if this is the problem, but she will not go out into the yard unless I physically walk her out to the yard to potty. And if I have to be away for the day, she might go. I've got them in a sunroom, a 24x24 sunroom that's tiled where they can run and play and everything because they don't like tall grass, of course. But she forever is pottying on the floor. And I've tried cleaning it up, spraying it with ammonia to kill the scent, spraying it with a urinator, eliminator, whatever, and she goes back to those spots. Why?
I'm going to guess that, unbeknownst to you, while she was out in the backyard, something bad happened to her. Maybe, and with a miniature doxy, it could have been a cat that would come in and attack the dog and leave, and you wouldn't know it. But something terrible happened to her, at least from her point of view.
Stung by a bee.
Stung by a bee, very good.
Scary noise in the sky.
So the issue isn't why is she going into the house in the same spot. Believe me, there's nothing you can do that's going to mask the odor to a dog. They can smell things in parts per billion, and that won't work. But what I think, what you have to do is kind of recondition her to go outside without you. I would do it either by throwing her toys out there with her or kind of hiding maybe a food treat and taking her out a couple times and showing her where the treat is so it becomes kind of a hunting game for her.
Make sure to take her to the vet if you haven't for a urinary tract infection.
Yeah.
Make sure she doesn't have one.
I should have said that first.
Because if she has one, your urination's painful. She may have urinated outside and it's painful. It's painful inside, too. Cats are notorious for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're superstitious. It hurt when she urinated in the grass, so yeah, it hurts inside, but that's my option.
It's inside. So yeah, check that first, especially with the 12-year-old. Is she spayed?
Is the collar still?
I did check her for that, and she just got over the medicine because I had called the vet telling her the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we checked her. She did have a urinary tract infection.
Mm-hmm.
But she still does it. And every
yeah.
once in a while, she'll poop in the house.
Yeah.
And
well, you've got a 12-year-old dog, and you're going to start to notice differences in their behavior. They're not going to be the same. And that's something that you might want to have a geriatric consult with your vet on her.
Okay.
But
I was wondering if it was because she's getting older, because it's gotten worse like the last 6 months.
Yeah, that's a good possibility.
Does she follow you from room to room?
No, because she's not allowed to roam the house.
Okay.
When you've got one dog, that's one thing. When you've got three, they run havoc. But I will take them every once in a while, either up to my office or into my bedroom, and I block off certain rooms so that they just can't run helter skelter.
But yeah, I think you're seeing some age changes.
Okay, great.
Hide food outside.
Another question. I've got another dog.
Well, we got to wrap it up.
All right.
Okay. Call back next month.
September.
Right, September. We'll see you in September.
My,
Jim, are you going to sing?
September. It's, yeah.
Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm join us on the first Friday of the month there with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. And coming up later this month, August 25th.
Responsible Dog Ownership Day at the Dog Training Club.
All day.
All day long.
Dog Training Club. Very good. Okay, there we will leave it.